shop teacher writes a book, you've got to be concerned. Okay, well, hey, thank you for coming, and thank you for listening to me talk about our next adventure. The bottom line, then, would be, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, you can expect to take some books home with you. And yeah, it just should be there. We'll see. Amazing. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are in verse 11. We'll finish this chapter tonight. Let's bow our heads. I'll pray, and we'll get started. Father, we do again thank you for your word. We thank you for this church. We thank you for fellowship of getting together and finding encouragement in your word and from each other. We do ask that we may continue to walk in your ways. We ask that this church may be a light to this community, but also across the nation. Again, we thank you for using us in this time in history, and we are honored that your Spirit is living in us and showing us the mysteries of God and revealing who we are in Christ and the future you have for us. Again, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I ask that we may understand it in a greater sense tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul began talking to the Corinthians right away about Sophia, wisdom. It is clear that they have derailed. They're still having church services. We started Hebrews last night, and in the book of Hebrews, we started that on Tuesday night Bible study, had 32 people there, 34 people there. Crowded house. But in Hebrews, the people actually stopped meeting together. They kind of were fading away from Christianity. But the Corinthians are still coming to church. So in Hebrews, they were walking away or leaving the church, where Corinth are all still coming to church. But the problem is what is going on in church in Corinth. They were pursuing Sophia of the world, worldly wisdom, worldly entertainment, if you would. It was great speaking and oratory skills and philosophy and things that people were flocking to hear. So you see right there, the Hebrews were in error because they were not going to church. The Corinthians are in error because they're going to church, but they're not doing anything substantial while they're there. So Paul is attacking right away. He's attacking Sophia, or attacking the wisdom of the world. And they obviously they know Paul's teaching. They've heard Paul's teaching. Paul's led them to salvation in Christ. But they've taken Paul's teaching and put it aside because, again, it seemed foolish. It seemed too simple. It wasn't as advanced, they thought, as this. They set Paul's teaching aside. And so what this argument is, he's going to bring it home tonight. What his argument has been, he's building the case to be able to tell them, and so that is why my message must be understood by the Spirit of God. The only way you'll understand my wisdom is if you have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God reveals it to you. And so really the thing that we're going to talk about tonight, as we got into this last week, was the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man, or the non-believer and the believer, is that the believer has the Spirit of God. And so the believer now is equipped, the believer now is empowered to hear the spiritual message of the Word of God and understand it and be able to do something with it. Again, we compared it to learning higher level math. You could be talking higher level math, but I don't have the facilities, I don't have the equipment, I don't have the understanding to understand what you're saying, so it sounds like foolishness. By being a believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God enters into our lives, into our hearts. It becomes one with us in a sense, so that now when we hear the spiritual truths and this spiritual information, is Paul uses the example of the wisdom of this age, the wisdom of God, or the wisdom of the age to come. And so when you hear this wisdom, it's from another age, it's from eternity, it's something that is beyond the human level. We can process it, we can receive it, we have the ability to understand it because, not because we're wise, but because the Spirit of God is here to receive that information and help us use it in our lives, to put it in our hearts. It's a spiritual. And you know, when you talk about 1 Corinthians, you know where we're going to end up in 1 Corinthians. We're going to end up talking about spiritual gifts, because the Corinthians have taken the spiritual gifts, or the Spirit of God, and they've lost on spiritual manifestations. And Paul starts off right away, you've missed the entire point of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is to help reveal the secrets or the mysteries of God that are not available to the natural man, but you've set the Spirit of God aside and have gone after these crazy manifestations, and you say, well, we're mature because we've got these manifestations, but the manifestations of the Spirit don't make you mature. It's the understanding of the revelation that makes you mature. And so right away, everything is out of balance with these poor people. Another thing they've got a problem with, we see in chapter 15, we're going to eventually get there, is that they've discounted the resurrection body, and throughout the chapter 6 and 7 and 8, they've discounted their physical life. They are so spiritual. Now watch this. They become so spiritual over here in a false sense because they've neglected the true work of the Spirit, which is understanding the revelation. So now in their lives, they're not living physically holy lives. Their lives are in sin. Their lives are not concerned about the natural world, even to the sense that they're not even concerned about their resurrection body in eternity. They've written off the physical world in their worldly wisdom. They've written off the holiness. In other words, when the Spirit of God reveals the truth to you, not only do you have an understanding of spiritual information and of the time that is coming and what God is doing and revealing the things that God has freely given us that Paul's going to say tonight, it also then begins to affect your physical life, so you begin to live holy. But the Corinthians had discounted the spiritual revelation, and so they were pursuing worldly wisdom, and thus their physical lives were corrupt. They were living in sin, and they had no power to overcome it. So this is not just like, well, academic information. It is. It's academic information that is processed in your soul by the power of the Spirit. See, that's the power of the Spirit, is to be able to process this eternal information. And that comes into your life, and it makes a difference. It changes who you are. It's a huge thing. It's a big deal. And again, I come back to this before we begin. That is why we teach the Word of God. That is why we don't come up here and have people just tell stories and use examples in little flowery language so that you have a nice time in church and walk out saying, well, that made me feel good. Because that would be very close, if not exactly, what was taking place in Corinth. Just worldly wisdom. Just got you feeling good about yourself. Gave you a little pep talk. Yeah, we can make it through life. It's like, well, you can get that at a halftime in the locker room somewhere. That's not the message. We have to communicate this, and this is where Paul is telling them, we've got to have this understood. Let's begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1. We'll pick up, start teaching in verse 11 when we get there. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with elegance or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Remember what we do. This is his three parts right here, where he says the message wasn't a complicated message. It was the gospel, simple, Christ crucified. That's all we talked about. Then he talks about them. He says, you weren't complicated people. You were simple people, but God chose you because it's the power of the Spirit that's going to make a difference. Then he says, I didn't come to you with some kind of higher level speaking ability. I simply spoke the truth. That's where he's saying. Verse 2, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling, meaning I wasn't a great messenger. I was scared. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. It wasn't like he did a great job of, you know, the oratory skills, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And being in context here, we know what that Spirit's power was. The Spirit's power was the ability to communicate that truth to their souls so they understood it, so that they got saved, born again, and their lives were put on the right track in fellowship with God. That was the power that was demonstrated by the Spirit. So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power, or the truth revealed to you by the Spirit. Verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom. Just after blasting wisdom, saying, well, we got a simple message, he says, but we do have a message of wisdom among the mature. We talked about this last week. The mature is really what makes the difference. The word is presented, the truth is presented, but the person listening, the receiver of that truth, is what makes the difference. If you're not mature, if you're not paying attention, if your heart's not in it, it sounds like foolishness. But if you're mature, it begins to make sense. But not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Again, those would be like the people, the great men of this earth, who are locked into worldly thinking that are going to amount to nothing in the age to come. And again, we mentioned this, that are coming to nothing. It is already in process. We're not waiting for Jesus Christ. Well, we are waiting for Jesus Christ's return, but that is not when the process is going to begin. The process has already begun. It's going to culminate in His return. We are already living in the new age in our hearts. In a real sense, not in our imagination, but it's really taken effect in our lives. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have understood this is the wisdom of God. This is the plan of God. We need to embrace Jesus Christ instead of killing Jesus Christ. But they didn't understand him, so they took the King of Kings, the eternal Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, and got rid of him. He was dying for the sins of the world with a full plan of being resurrected from the dead, but they weren't doing it for that reason. They were killing him because he was useless. They were executing him because he was causing them problems. He was going to upset their world, so we don't want him here. That's why they executed him. They didn't understand it, otherwise they wouldn't have done that. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, but God has prepared for those who love him. So, in a sense, in the natural mind, the natural man, no one understands what God is doing. Now, this is important right here, because it sets up where we're heading in these next verses. No one knows what God is doing. We can't sit around in a circle and discuss what we think God is doing and come to the conclusion. We have no ability to find out what God is doing, and he's doing some great things in history. From the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the garden up until Jesus Christ returns, God is in the process of doing something. But for us to wrap our mind around what he is going to accomplish, he is going to destroy evil and remove evil forever. Evil is going to no longer be a part of the future when this plan is done. That's a huge thing. There's many changes. He's going to bring natural men and women like us and bring us into the family of God so that we are sons of God, brothers with Jesus Christ. We're going to be united with God. That's a huge thing. We're going to be further ahead in the spiritual kingdom than the angels ever could have thought about being. How is that taking place? Well, that is just a little bit about what God is doing in time. But no mind can understand what God is accomplishing. He's removing evil. What is evil in the world? I don't even understand why there's evil in the world, but I do know that whatever's taking place, it's going to be eliminated because of what's happening. One of the things that's happening to evil in time right now is God is in the process of removing it. And this is the way he's doing it. But nonetheless, no eye can understand these mysteries that God is accomplishing. What God has prepared for those who love him. He is doing something for us so that in the end, we're excited about going to heaven. We rejoice about the plan of God. But we don't fully understand it. It's beyond our understanding. But the little bit that we do understand, that's not saying right there that we can't understand it. It does say that in the natural sense we can't understand it. But the next verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The little bit that we do understand, the only reason we can't understand it is that God, by the Spirit, has revealed it to us. And here we go. This is our new material right here. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. And that's the key phrase right there, is the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And we're going to put this together with that next verse right there. But the Spirit searches all things. Meaning he's looking. Everything is available to him. It's like someone coming over to your house and being able to go through everything. Everything, like, okay, in my house. Everything in my house, all the closets, all the everything, is available to me. I can search anywhere in my house. I have access to every room, every cupboard, unless Tony's got stuff hidden from me. I have access, and the Spirit of God has access to everything in God. Every thought, every corner, anything in ancient eternity past that we can't even imagine, the Spirit of God has access to that. He's been there. He has access to all these things. So the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God, the things that are completely removed, that no man could even imagine it being a thought. The Spirit of God is there. He understands it. He's part of it. And verse 11 begins to make a point. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? It's a simple thought. I got these things written down right here. Corinthians, okay, I think I said that. Let's see. Well, let's just stay with what I'm just saying here. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? So the example that Paul's using here, and again, he's not trying to teach the parts of man that man is like, God is spirit and all these things. He's making an example. He says, in your own life, and we've all experienced this before, there's things that happen in our life. If it's a joy, if it's a pain, You can look at me and you can say, oh, I'm glad that happened to Galen. Or you can look at me and say, oh, man, that's sorry. I feel sorry for him. It bothers me. But you don't really feel my, you may have gone through something similar, but you don't feel the pain. I'm the only one who can feel my pain. I'm the only one who can experience the joy. I can share the joy, but I'm the only one that really understands. I'm the only one that knows my thoughts. You can tell kind of what I'm thinking. I can kind of tell what you're thinking and feeling, but I really don't know what's going on. Only you can know that. Even, you know, in a marriage relationship, you know, Tony's got her thoughts and Tony's got her life, and I know Tony, but there's things that, you know, all the time, I can never fully understand. I've got to listen to her. She explains to me, and I try to understand through her words, but she is experiencing her life. I'm watching her life. Same way, I'm experiencing my life, but she's watching my life. There's a proverb, I wrote this proverb down, Proverbs 14, verse 10. Each heart, I got it on your notes there, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. And that's to say, that's on both the negative and the positive. Each heart knows its own bitterness. Your sorrow, I can feel for you, but you're the one that experiences. And the joy, you can't share the joy. It's something that you, and that's what Paul's saying right here. He's using this as an example. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. It's a simple illustration. You don't really know my heart. I'm the only one that really knows it. And he says, in the same way, now you've got God over here. And no one, first of all, man can understand him, but there's the emphasis here is not that no one understands God. The emphasis here is, but the Spirit of God does understand God. The Spirit of God does understand all the joys, all the sorrows, all the plans. He has experienced everything God has experienced. The Spirit of God is God and has experienced. Now, this is huge what he's about ready to say here. This is huge. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And then verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So what he's saying right there, it'd be like the illustration, if we continue the illustration, no one knows, and I know you've wanted to do this, especially I know with my kids, if they don't understand. Hawkeye, he drives off in the car, you know, Hawkeye, who just had plastic surgery on his face, went on Ragbri the next week and called and said he just hit his head or hit his face on the bottom of the pool. It's like, what are you thinking? Well, I didn't know it was that, you know, it came up, you know, I went deeper than I thought. It's like, just come home and sit in this chair until, never, just sit there. But he gets in the car and drives off. You know, I know none of you did this, but it's like, when I drive through a neighborhood, now this changed my life. When I began to have kids, Justin and Paul were like 2, 3 years old, and they started playing in the front yard. You know what I did as a driver through a neighborhood? Slowed down. Now, I never drove fast, in my estimation, but when I saw kids in my yard, my kids playing, and I saw cars drive by, I would think, now, if he would have just popped out from behind the car, there's no way they could have slowed down. So you know what I did? It was just, you know, when there's cars in our neighborhood, there's people park their cars along the streets. I see kids playing with balls and jump ropes and stuff. And it's like, I never know when a kid is going to walk from behind a car. Just, you know, just I don't know why they did. They just walk. So when I go, it's like, you know, and I slow down. I go sometimes slower than the speed limit, especially when you go by cars. I know where certain kids live because you don't know what's going to happen. Now my boys start driving. You know, they used to play in the yard. I used to be afraid that they're going to be hit by a car, but guess what now? They're driving the car, and I'm worried they're going to hit somebody else's kid. Now my boys don't drive fast. They're not speeding through the neighborhood, but they're not driving slow either. Well, and they are going over the speed limit. I know that. I can tell as I see them drive off. And then when they get in the car or they come home, I'll say, you need to slow down. And they'll always, I know your kids are better than this, and I even be up here preaching because I'm unworthy. But they'll go, Dad, I wasn't going fast. I know what you think. You didn't think you were going fast, but you could not have stopped if a kid popped out behind a car. Dad, God, what's wrong? They don't want to consider that option. They're free. They're living life. They finally can drive the car. And that's the point where I want to take, son, just stand there a minute. I'm going to get into your head. And I somehow leave my body, or I, you know, like an amoeba, I split and I crawl into there. Now things are going to be better. You can't do, I'll always be here. Now he'll always make a decision. He'll get in the car and think, I'm going to say, I'll go, no, we're slowing this car down. It's like, God, Dad, I can't get away from you. No, you can't. And it's like, but he can. Today he gets in the car, and once he's gone, I go, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what pool he's hitting his head on the bottom of or where he's going. I don't know what's going on. I want to split and get in his head. So as he's going off the, we went out, I mean, I'm talking about Hawkeye right now. But we went swimming Sunday afternoon, you know, and I tell him, I says, please. He gets on the diving board, and he does like the, you know, these double flips, which is okay because you go off the diving board and you do a flip, you know, and that's, you know, a flip. But then he starts doing this, what do you call it? It's a backflip, you know? You guys maybe know what I'm talking about. He runs, boing, goes way up in there, and then goes backwards. It's like, oh, man, I get sick every time he does it. But he'll flip over and go, oh, it looks really cool. Looks real. Oh, the girl's like, ooh, you know? And that's why Hawkeye's doing it, you know? And he goes higher every time and tries to go further every time. And the more he gets the attention, the more he doesn't, the more I get sick watching him. But I wish I could somehow get in his head so when he's up there, I could say, you know, let's go get an ice cream sandwich. Let's not go off the diving board right now. Again, that wouldn't be how you really want it. You want your kids to live life. But the same thing here now, or trying to bring this back to context, if he doesn't understand, do you understand the danger of this? No, I just understand the thrill of going off the board. Let's look at the board. What would happen if you hit your head on this? And trying to get some thoughts going there. The same thing is true right here. It says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand. So, the spirit of God is in the business of communicating the word of God to us so that as we're going through our life, not only while I'm teaching the word, Jesus said he'll bring these things to your remembrance. Not only while I'm teaching or you're reading your Bible or you're talking to someone, is the spirit of God going to go, yeah, that's right. Did you hear that? Now, I'm not telling you you're going to, no, I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have a voice in your head going, you know, whatever. But I am telling you, especially since you're here tonight, you have experienced the Spirit of God revealing something to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Oh, you may come on Sundays or you may be in some religious activity, but the reason you come is because you're not just listening to me teach. These things are hitting your mind and the Spirit of God says, ging, and he's taking that. And he's not talking to you audibly. He might be. He can. He did in the Bible. But what's taking place is there's an ability in you that all of a sudden subtly, he's bringing these things to you, and it's making sense. And there are people there that aren't here tonight because they don't understand it. If everybody could understand this, and everybody would receive the Spirit's work right here, there would be more people listening to the Word of God because look at this. This is changing my life. Well, that's what we're talking about right here. Look on the notes here. Let's go over to, page 2 at the top. This is exciting right here because in verse 9, no mind is conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Hear that right there? No mind is conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That God has prepared something. God's got a plan. We already talked about the plan, that God is doing something in history. We talked about it Sunday morning, that God didn't need an amusement park. He's not just amusing himself with history. It's bigger than that. And our lives are more than amusement. There's something happening in history. God's doing something. And this gives us a clue right here with all we knew right here. God has prepared for those who love him. He's preparing something. He's doing something. Something's getting done, and it's for us. He's doing something for us. Then it says down here, verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world, which just shows us the things of the world. And you can go negative on that, you know, the spirit of Satan or something like that. But our focus is really not on the spirit of the world right here because Paul's now pushing this over to the positive side. We're talking about the Spirit of God. But the Spirit who is from God, watch this, that we may understand what God has freely given us. What is taking place, God had a purpose for history. He's doing something. He's prepared something. And now the Spirit has come into us so that we may understand what God has freely given us. God wants us to have some kind of a concept. And again, we're not going to understand everything. But what's in this book right here, his desire, I think, that's why I'm a Bible teacher. I think God's desire is that it's not ever going to be accomplished. But God's desire is that every believer has an understanding of this entire book. That is His goal. That's why I just keep teaching. Just keep going. Because we're never going to get done. But that is His goal. There's not some verses in here, well, I just wrote that so you didn't understand it. No, we may not understand it, but His purpose is that we would understand it. What God has freely given us. And I am, you know, as I read this, and I'm not sure how you feel about it, but I learn things, and I know I can give you a list of things that God has done and is doing. But there are things in here that the Spirit of God is still, I'm on the diving board and He's still trying to tell me. And it's like, I'm thinking something, but I can't wrap my mind around it. And I go off the board or something in life. Okay, but let's look at these words. Freely given. It's the word, I've got it written out there on top of page 2. The beginning of the word is charis, where we get the word grace from. You're familiar with that word. Charis, and it means to grant as a favor, as an act of kindness, pardon, or rescue. This word, freely given, it means to deliver, to forgive, to freely give, or to grant. So, right there, what God has freely granted, God has willingly, it's His own option, it's His own desire. From the beginning of time, He wanted to do this and freely grant it to us. Now, the problem is, that not everybody understands that. I'm going to do this. I go back to Romans. I just saw this when I was going. Yeah, right here. Today when I was studying, getting ready for this, I just bumped into this verse. Oh, I know why I bumped into this verse. Because I was reading this part right here. Let me read you the part I was reading that goes in context with this verses here. Okay, now you've just got 3 points happening right here at the same time. Okay, you got 3 different sermons all going to overlap each other right here. So just if you're lost, so am I. I was looking at these verses right here, the doxology part of Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. I thought this was interesting because of what we just read, the deep things of God. Chapter 11 of Romans, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. There it is. The depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. And that's His doxology as He closes down that portion of Romans. Again, the idea that God is beyond this. But of those things that are untraceable, that are unsearchable, that are beyond our understanding, God has some of those things that He wants to reveal to us by His Spirit. And the verse I saw as I was studying this, look in verse 32. It says, "For God has bound all men over to disobedience in sin through Adam. Why? So that He may have mercy on them all." It's a huge verse. When you think about it, that God's plan is that all men receive this mercy, that all men receive what Paul just talked about here, that giving, that grace of giving. Just, I want to explain this to you. And it begins with salvation, begins with the cross, but it continues through. Now, the problem is not everybody's going to receive that. Not everybody's going to let the Spirit of God show them. They're going to go off the board and just push the Spirit of God off. But God is trying to get the Spirit of God in everybody. So not only can they be saved and come to knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they can then, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, so that it says right here, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now, we begin to understand what God has done when we accept salvation and we accept Jesus Christ. It's a huge thing. But again, if you go back to when I got saved, and you can think about the time that you came to faith or that you came to an understanding of your faith in Jesus Christ, I mean, I was troubled with my sin. I was troubled with the thought of going to hell. I was troubled with the thought of God being angry with me. And that was pretty much my body of understanding. It was like, if I accept Jesus Christ, God's happy, I don't go to hell, sin is not an issue, and I get to go to heaven. Where do I sign up? Now, that was what was revealed. The Spirit of God revealed that to me, that through Jesus Christ, these boxes can get checked off. And I was happy. I was thrilled with that. Many people are. Many people stay right there. We're just thrilled we're saved. And you should never lose that thrill. But understand, the Spirit of God revealed that to you, but He came into your life. So guess what? That's true, and that's the foundation, but there's more happening. God is doing something in history, something in our lives. And He says right here that we may understand what God has freely given us. Not just salvation, but this whole plan of history. The word known right there, it means to understand also. It means to see, to know. And it's a verb that is used over in verse 11, we just went through there. Who knows the thoughts of a man except the man within him? In other words, what is being said there, the Spirit of God wants to take what the Spirit of God knows about God and His plan and bring it over to us and let us know the same thing. Not just know salvation, that's huge, but to know the plan. It's called the divine viewpoint, that you might think like God, so that when you step into this life, and the world system is working around us. It mentions here the spirit of the world. Now, again, you can maybe want to go off on a demonic talk right there, the spirit of Satan. But it basically says the spirit of the cosmos, the spirit, the attitude of this system that you're living in. We haven't received that. We've received the Spirit of God, and that Spirit wants us to know what God has freely given to us, who we are in Christ, where we are going, that we don't evaluate our lives on the natural situations or natural priorities, but we've got an entire different basis of evaluating life. We've got a different way of looking at problems. We've got a different way of evaluating evil. We've got a different attitude towards sin that the world should have. We've got a different approach to eternity. We've got a different approach to material things here. We'll use them, we'll enjoy them, but we're not going to sell our soul to them because they're going to pass away and there's something more eternal. We have a different way of looking at relationships with people. We have a burden that maybe the world, it's not always positive, sometimes we have a burden that the world doesn't feel. We feel a responsibility. The world says, who cares? We're on our way to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We wish we could live that way sometimes. It's like, I wish I could just eat, drink, and be merry, but it's like, there's a ministry to be done. There's things that have to happen. It's like, why? Well, that's because I'm such a great guy. Why do I teach the Word of God? Well, because I'm just such a holy guy. I'm just such a great guy that just cares about people. I've quit Bible teaching 3 or 4 times in my life. Just like this. I'm done. I'm wasting my time. I'm going to go eat, drink, and be merry. For about 2-3 weeks, 2-3 months, and pretty soon it's like, something gets me right back here. It's because I've got such a conscience. No, it's because the Spirit of God, I think it's because the Spirit of God won't let me keep looking at the world the way I want to look at the world. It's like, did you enjoy that? Did you have fun being absorbed in your work and just buying stuff? It's like, it was for a while, but it's like, it's meaningless. Exactly. Would you get back to something that counts? Don't you know I want to live a meaningless life? Don't you know I just want to mow my yard and drink Pepsi in my backyard and watch TV and watch videos? It's like, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. I do that sometimes. But I cannot, again, I'm not putting myself the same way with you. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night. If you wanted to mow your yard, you can, it's raining. But if you want to just sit and drink pop and watch TV, that's where you would be. But you're here not because you're such a great person. You are. And you're following this. You can say no to the Spirit of God, but you're here, you're understanding, and you're looking for the divine point of view because the Spirit of God is saying, this is where you want to be. You can run, but you can't hide. You can walk away, but you're going to have to live in rebellion, or the Spirit of God is going to bring you back because He wants to show you, He wants you to know what God has freely given you. He wants you to know, watch this, just like I want Hawkeye to know what I know about driving slow through the neighborhood. I tell him, he goes, Dad, me and Tony just got done running last night. We came running in, and he's on his way to work. And you know you're disappointed as a parent when you're running down the road and a car comes around the corner. You go, whose kid is Hawkeye? you've got to slow down. Dad, I says, just listen. I says, you hit a kid, it will change your life forever. It's not worth it. Drive slow. And he's wise. He says, okay, Dad. And you know what that means. That's like, he just might as well say, shut up. But he's saying, okay, Dad, I'm smart enough not to say shut up, but I am smart enough to say, okay, Dad, what do you want me to say? I want you to say, okay. Okay. Well, there. See, I changed Hawkeye's life. Well, the same thing here is the Spirit of God wants us to understand what I know about, again, Galen, and Galen's experience, how I feel as a father, how I've drove through neighborhoods, and how I've seen things that could be very dangerous. I know these things. I've seen them. I've felt them. I've experienced them. I want Hawkeye to know that. And I want to take my spirit and put it in Hawkeye so he can get in the car and think, you know, there's little kids playing in these yards. They could pop out from behind a car. And he knows that. It's not because he heard me say it. He knows it. Now, you know, sometimes in life, things are going to happen and they'll learn it, but they're going to learn it by experience. But what God is trying to do is take that knowledge, that understanding, listen, if Hawkeye just remembers, well, Dad told me to slow down, I'm supposed to slow down. That's just information. But when I hear, and you do too, you start hearing the older brothers say stuff to the younger brothers that you used to tell them, it's like, looks like somebody knows something. They've learned, don't do that, or make sure you do that. And they start, in a sense, chewing their brothers out in a good way, telling them things that I was on my way to tell them, but there's a brother telling them that already. It's like, hey, they know something. They understand. They've experienced some level of that. And that is what God is trying to do with His Spirit. He's trying to take God's view, God's understanding of time, of purpose, of evil, of our existence here, of eternity, of where we're going, of the rewards, of the freedom in Christ, of the danger of sin. All these things are here, and we can read about it, and we can take a test. That's why our college professors that are Bible teachers that are not believers, they know the material. Well, they understand the points. I don't even want to use those words. I don't want to use know. I don't want to use understand. Those are scriptural words. They've got this body of information, but they don't know it. The Spirit of God makes it real. So we think about these things like God thinks about them. We see sin, we think about it like God thinks about it. We think about eternity, we think about it like God thinks about it. We know eternity like God knows. And there's only one way that's even possible. It's not because I'm a great Bible teacher. It's not because you're such a good student and you understand so many academic things. It's because the Spirit of God has come into your heart, just like I want to take my spirit and put it into Hawkeye. The Spirit of God has come into you, and He's making these things known to you, and so they become a personal reality. They become your way of thinking, your divine viewpoint. God's divine viewpoint becomes your viewpoint of life, and you begin to live the way God lives. Let's go on. Verse 13. This is what we speak. Now we come right back to what Paul's been aiming at the whole time. This is what, now that should be underlined. That should have an exclamation point by it. Not because it's in the Greek, but because of the context here. This is what we, what he's saying? He says, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. In other words, the wisdom that I'm preaching, Paul says, the wisdom that you guys have walked away from, that doesn't make sense. He says, that is the wisdom that God has given me because of His Spirit, not because He's an apostle necessarily, but the Spirit of God has made it known to him that he understands. He says, this is what I've been speaking. I have been speaking what God has put in my heart by the Spirit of God. This is what we speak. Where am I at here? This is what we speak. Watch this. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Now, this is a great part right here. This is a great part of the text tonight. But in words taught by the Spirit. And we understand what that means. Is now, again, like we talk about the Spirit, my Spirit going into Hawkeye, so he thinks like I think. Now, the Spirit of God, who knows all about God, has come into Paul. And now we find out how it's communicated. Words taught by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in teaching us through words. The vehicle is words that we're understanding. Words taught by the Spirit, watch this, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And now we've got a qualification. This information is spiritual. It's something that is from another dimension. And that's why we need the Spirit of God, because it takes it from this dimension, the Spirit of God transforms over here, and now it comes to us, and now we understand these spiritual truths that have been communicated to us by the Spirit of God through spiritual words. Here's some interpretations on the bottom of page 2, or middle page 2. The end of this verse is interpreted three ways. You can see the words right there. I've got them written out in the Greek. By the way, when I upload this on the web page, this is why I'm doing this right here. You see, I've got the Greek words, and then they got the interlinear right underneath it there. I'm cutting and pasting this from a website that someone else has got, you see? And when you put your mouth over those words, a little box pops up and tells you the tense of the verbs, tells you the meaning. Or if you put it over an English word, it gives you a little box pops up and tells you the Greek word that caused it to be translated. So it's just, I'm just pasting it right on there. So there's nothing happens here. You can't put your finger over that. It doesn't do anything, okay? But on the computer, when you roll your mouse over, it'll be like a blue word, and it'll pop up. I thought that's kind of clever. So we may not use it, but it's kind of neat to just have right there, and makes it look like a real Bible teaching site. People think, wow, this Galen, look, he's really smart. Just roll your mouse over it and read the word. But nonetheless, here's you got three words in the NIV, spiritual things, and then spiritual and comparing. So basically what it says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, or comparing spiritual with spiritual. Three ways of understanding this. One is expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Another way, a correct way of interpreting this would be interpreting spiritual truths to spiritual men. So let's go back and read this in context here. But the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand that what is freely given us. Okay, verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths to spiritual men. That could be a correct interpretation. He said, what I am doing is I am, and he'd be looking at the Corinthian church, whoever they are. He says, what I am doing is I'm taking these spiritual truths that I've understood because the Spirit of God lives in me, and I'm expressing them to spiritual men who likewise should understand them. I mean, how useless would it be to stand here, watch this, and teach the Word of God to a bunch of heathen? Now, you would teach them the gospel. You could teach them some principles. You know, this is what God expects from marriage. This is what God expects from a nation. But to go through this, they're like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Because his point would be spiritual truths to spiritual men. And then one other one would be comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So all of those could be understood right there. The concept there, again, that we want to see is the Spirit of God has taken the things he knows from the Spirit of God, or from God. He's brought them over to Paul, or in our case, revealed it to us. And now in Paul's case, or whenever we're explaining it, we're taking those spiritual truths that were revealed to us by the Spirit of God, and we're expressing spiritual truths, again, in spiritual words. It's not just, like when we're teaching up here, it's not just words we're saying. There's a spiritual backing behind, there's a spiritual truth, there's a meaning that comes along with it. So, some ideas on that. I got some understanding of that, what Paul's saying. I think he's using the explanation that Paul is saying that his teaching is an explanation of the spiritual truth from God that was understood. And I think that's what he's saying, is the idea like I'm teaching what the Bible says, and as I'm communicating, this is why we keep going. As I say it, I teach it, and the power is not in my demonstration. The power is not in my presentation. The power is in the truth that's in those words, and it happens in your life because the Spirit is there. So what we have happening here, my friends, you and I are here. I'm teaching, you're listening. But this is not about me and you. This is about the Word of God that's coming out of my mouth, coming to you where the Spirit of God receives it and processes it and you understand it. If this was just me standing up here reading, it would be human wisdom with human words, and you'd have your mind and you'd be listening and you'd be, you know, learning on a human level, which happens. But there's more here. As I'm speaking, it's the Word of God that's got power, and you're receiving it by the Spirit of God, and by His power, He's bringing it into your soul, and it becomes something that will change your life. Spiritual truths in spiritual words or for spiritual people. This is exciting stuff. So that's why we keep doing it. This is why I videotape, why we make CDs. That's why we just keep putting stuff. We do Bibles. Just keep throwing it out there, because if a believer will come and listen, and I'm actually speaking the Word of God, look what we're doing. What? I'll get personal. With that understanding, in 1985, I walked away from coaching. All I wanted to do was coach. I wanted to be a basketball coach. I want to coach basketball. I want to coach baseball. That's all I could think about. And when I got an understanding, it's like, why? I'm not making fun of coaching. I'm going to coach cross country this fall for the paycheck. Okay? So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with coaching. If that's what God's called you to do and you're passionate about it, there's nothing wrong with that. But when I understood this, it was like someone sucked the passion right out of my heart. I didn't even want to go to practice. It's like, who cares about the press? Who cares about the offense? Look at what I could be doing. I could be expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words to spiritual men. Oh my gosh. Why would you want to call time out and talk about an offense? Why would you want to teach kids a jump shot? Look what I could be doing. Now, that right there is, I'm not saying that's what everybody should do. That right there is an indication of a calling on your life. That's the Spirit of God saying, do you see the value of this? I'm ready to go off the diving board. Watch, I'm going to win another basketball game. It's like, have you considered this? Now, holy smokes. And I saw this, it's like, I don't want to coach anymore. This is what I want to do. That's exciting. Okay, I'm sorry I got passionate there for you. But you just saw me at halftime in the locker room before I lost my passion. Scared some kids. Yeah. Scared some parents too. Okay. That was fun. Verse 14. Now we go to, and we're wrapping this up, the man without the Spirit, and there's three things here. The man without the Spirit. And again, those that are not here tonight, and again, I'm not talking about members of the church that are working and stuff. I'm just using this as an example. This is not condemnation to anybody. But the man without the Spirit, why is he not here? They don't have the Spirit. They haven't received the Spirit. They haven't accepted the Spirit's ministry in their life. The man that doesn't have the Spirit does not accept the things that comes from the Spirit of God. Number one, they do not accept the things that comes from the Spirit of God. Now, the word accept doesn't mean understands. It doesn't say there, even in the NIV. It doesn't say the man without the Spirit does not understand the things that come from the Spirit. Now, that's true, but the reason they don't understand it, this word is more important. They don't accept it. What's the first thing the Spirit of God reveals to every man? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You say yes or no. You reject it. You don't accept it. You don't get the Spirit. You don't get eternal salvation. You don't get the Spirit. You're on your own. And so the man without the Spirit doesn't have the Spirit because he didn't accept the Spirit. He said no to the Spirit. Why don't you understand this? I didn't accept it. Well, that causes more problems. Doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him. The base word for that is for where we get our word moron. It's moronic. It's ridiculous. Now, why is it ridiculous to him? Because he doesn't have the Spirit. Well, why doesn't he have the Spirit? He rejected the Spirit. He said no. What? And we know people like that. Every one of us could be in that same position today. You could be listening to this Bible class, and some of you maybe are already, not because of your position spiritually, but because of my teaching. But you could be listening to a sermon like this or a message like this and be saying, that's moronic. That doesn't even make sense. Again, I leave open the option. It may be my fault. But let's assume that I'm doing a good job, an adequate job. The reason you think this is moronic, you think this is foolish, it's because you don't have the Spirit. The only way you're going to receive this and make sense of this is that the Spirit of God reveals it to you. Because it's spiritual truths spoken in spiritual words, and it's for spiritual people. If you're not spiritual, you're hopeless. It sounds like a moron up here. And again, I leave the option open to me anyhow. For they are foolishness to him, and the result, of course, and he cannot understand them. Why can't he not understand them? Because it's moronic. And why is it moronic? Because he doesn't have the Spirit. Why doesn't he have the Spirit? He didn't accept it. So it's similar to Romans chapter 1, where you got the decline. They reject the Spirit. Truth now sounds like moronic talking, or the speech of a moron. And so now, because it sounds like a moron, you don't have the truth. You don't understand what's going on. Scary, scary place to be. And he can't understand why. Why can't he understand? Now, the rest, there's nothing new in this rest of this verse, but it just reiterates what we've been talking about. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You've got to judge these, spiritually discerned, judge. You judge these things by the Spirit. You have no spirit, you can't adequately judge. Of course, I expect the heathen to think I'm a moron. What becomes scary is if the heathen thinks I'm intelligent. Because how do you think I'm intelligent? The only way you get to judge me is spiritually, and you're not spiritual. I must be getting awful close to your wisdom if you agree with me. The spiritual man, on the other hand, makes judgments about all things. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Again, meaning, if you're spiritual, the Spirit of God is in you, and you can analyze, make judgments, clarify, and put things in perspective. You can, like we said last week, you can evaluate it. You have the ability to put things in priorities, but you can't prioritize me. If you're a secular man, if you're humanistic, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you think with the wisdom of this world, and then you evaluate my life, it's like, you gave up preaching to this? Well, you can't, you may judge, but your judgment is invalid. You have no basis for judging me. It'd be like me judging the president. Everybody judges the president, but it's like, you have no idea. I've got opinions. Everybody's got opinions. Newspapers got opinions. But it's like, if you sat in his seat and you knew what he knew, you might have a different opinion. And the same thing, he himself, the spiritual man, is not subject to any man's judgment. You may have an opinion about me, but until you are spiritual, you have no idea my basis of operation. So go ahead and call me a moron. Call me a fool. But it doesn't count. You have no ways of judging it. Okay, verse 16. Now we go back to Isaiah. We could go to these verses, but I'm not going to look them up. There's some things I want to show you, but we'll just skip it. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? In other words, this ties together the spiritual man who's operating under the principles of divine wisdom or divine viewpoint, operating as God with, he's operating the way the Spirit of God is leading him because of his revelation of Scripture. The Spirit of God comes from God himself. And so when you judge the spiritual man who's walking in wisdom, you're actually judging the Spirit of God who comes, you're actually judging God himself. And so, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? This man is following God's word. The Spirit of God is revealing it. How can you instruct God? This, again, is assuming the most positive sense. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, this mind of Christ, if we understand what's been said here, doesn't come to you because you got saved. I got saved, now I've got the mind of Christ. Okay, you've got the thought of Christ or the mind of Christ in this area, but there's more to be put in there. The mind of Christ is more than salvation. Obviously very important, it's the key. But it's going to continue to put in there. And the spiritual man who receives this instruction is now no longer judged by the natural man, for who can judge the mind of God? Because he's thinking like God. And so we can't be judged by the secular world, but because it says we have the mind of Christ. We are thinking about Christ. Now, I believe this is in an ideal setting, an ideal situation. Some people, I'll tell you this, some people would teach this, and it becomes their confession. I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I've got the mind of Christ. Okay, to an extent, you have the Spirit of God, you've got this potential, and the Spirit of Christ is in you, or you've got the mind in some sense, but this is a continual process, I would think, that we have the potential for the mind of Christ, we've got the Spirit of God, but if you shut your Bible and never look at it, I'm not sure how confident I would be of saying, in fact, I would adamantly say you have the potential of the mind of Christ, but I don't think you've got the mind of Christ. Because, I mean, there's so many people I've known in my own life where I do something and it's not what God would do. So I think this is, again, an ideal situation of where we've got the Word of God and we're walking in wisdom. Well, oh, I shut my Bible. I want to read just to start the next verse here. And it's right here. This sets up the whole stage. Spiritual truths to spiritual men. The world can't judge us because they have no base of understanding what we're doing because we're from another dimension. We've got a different viewpoint. We have the mind of Christ. And now the reason I can say what I just said about that mind of Christ is potential, because look right here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Now they are believers. They've got the Spirit of God. But apparently they don't have what we would say the mind of Christ. They've got the potential, it's right there, but they've rejected the mind of Christ because they've rejected the wisdom of God. And he says, I could not address you as spiritual. You have the potential, but I've got to step back and start all over because you have no idea. And what Paul's just done right there is his ministry. They push him out and say, you don't have much to say. Yeah, no, the reason you don't think I've got much to say is you don't understand what I'm talking about. In fact, I've got so much to say that I can't even tell you because you are so immature. You are so far off the track of truth that we need to start over again. And your problem is not me. Your problem is I can't speak to you spiritually. And it's going to work. He's going to go through the Corinthian letters here, and he's going to get them back on track. It's amazing, amazing job. Through these letters, the Corinthian church is going to get back on track with the help of Timothy and Titus. Let's pray. If you have any questions or comments or insights, please feel free. Father, we thank you so much for your truth. We thank you for your word, and we do ask that we would be faithful, that we would let this thing take place in our lives, that we let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us, speak to us, and make known to us what is known to God. Again, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thoughts, comments, questions? Right, yes, yep. Yep, exactly. Yep. Thanks for coming.